Vectus Radio podcasts are sponsored by Break the Cycle CIC, rebuilding self-esteem in people who have experienced domestic abuse. For more, email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk.
You listen to Vectus Radio, FM 104.6, and I've got to be honest with you, I'm angry, frustrated, and fearful. And I'm pretty sure that Dave Stewart feels possibly the same.
Yeah, I think I'd add a couple of words to that. I'm also asking the island to really step up to the plate now and do the right thing to protect everybody. And also, you know, if you want hope, hope is there with a vaccine, but it's weeks away. So we just got to stop this, what I call COVID complacency. It's just taking us down in a way we shouldn't allow it to.
I'm angry because we're in this situation, and I think most people saw it coming, and yet we still allowed it to happen. And, you know, just ordinary people have allowed that to happen. I think all of us, you know, even the powers that be, I think the local powers that be have been absolutely awesome since March. They've been absolutely incredible, and I can't thank them enough for all the things that they do. You know, people that are collecting our bins, people that are nurses, teachers, council workers that are going above and beyond. You know, but I just look at them and I think they've been let down by people that have flouted the rules. They've done all those stupid things that we've been talking about over the last 10 months or so. They've gone to the beach, they've gone to parties, they've had parties, they've gone to barbecues and so on and so forth. And you think you haven't cared at all about those people that have put their lives on the line. And I think that's a disgrace. I really do. And I'm so angry and frustrated. And like I said, I'm fearful. And I think the message needs to get out there, people, that, you know, this is real. People are dying from this. Just recently, I've looked on Facebook and saw names that I know. People are dying. People have got it. It's real. If you've got it, you die alone. And that's not nice. That's not nice for the people that are involved. That's not nice for the people that are actually going through it as well. So it's about time, I say, the Isle of Wight actually woke up, the rest of the country as well. Wake up those people that are not doing the right thing. What would you add to that, Dave?
Well, I think the first thing in two parts for me, when the virus became clear to people what it was, and I think there was a few months at the very beginning of last year when we hadn't quite grasped the fact this was a very contagious virus with some really catastrophic outcomes for some people. But I think the Isle of Wight picked that up in around March time, and people started to do the right thing. And we were in a place, well, we can remember probably just a couple of weeks ago when we were in what they call tier one. Our numbers, I can remember talking about, you know, 11 cases per 100,000 and thinking to myself, we did really well there. Can we keep this going? I hope people don't get complacent. When I'm now talking to you with figures that are up to 850 per 100,000, which is higher than the English average, bear in mind we were the lowest in the country. And I don't care what anybody says, Ian, I agree with you. Some people seem to think this world doesn't apply to them. Now, I lost a friend who I served with in my previous job back into last year, who caught COVID and died. And that was really sad, but very sobering. I'm sitting here talking to you today, and I know of cases of people not following the guidelines in terms of even going to takeaways. They're not keeping their distance. They've been out walking, which is fine, but they're not socially distancing. And all they're doing really is putting themselves and indeed other people at risk, which we don't need. So to that extent, I'm right alongside your frustration.
I'm angry and I'm frustrated, and I'm also quite scared of where all this is going. And I just want people to realise that this isn't a game. This really is not the game. And these people that are putting themselves on the line deserve much, much better. Most people are doing the right things. My wife and I do all the right things. We're not goody-goodies or anything like that. We're just respecting that there are people out there putting their life and soul on the line. So we do the right thing. We wear masks. We go out less. We don't go to, you know, the parties. We're not having parties. We're not having people round our house. We're doing the right thing. And it's not hard. It really isn't hard. I've got so many other questions I want to put to you, Dave, but obviously, you know, I want to get the point across that I would imagine that most people are feeling this anger and frustration today, tomorrow, and they'll feel it for the next couple of weeks at least, purely and simply because we don't want to be in this position, and certain people have worked hard not to be in this position, but they now find themselves in it, and it's not fair. It's not right. Does it hamper you as a council not knowing what Downing Street are doing? Just say, for instance, whenever they make a decision, you're not privy to that decision until they've actually announced it. Would it be better if local people could actually make the decisions before they, you know, delay and take days to work out what they're going to do?
Obviously, I'd love to know earlier than I do. Like most people, I sat and watched last night's presentation by the Prime Minister. What we're not privy to, and I know this from the council locally, what people who are not involved in a decision are not privy to is all the information. Now, yesterday we had our outbreak management board, our local one, where I chair. We've got our director of public health. We've got cabinet colleagues who deal with community safety. We have the chief executive, and we look at where we are on the island, and we double check ourselves to say, is there anything else we can be doing that we're not doing? But we take in a range of information, and that's where I got those figures for you earlier. So I know those decisions are tough. One thing everybody's recognised is the decision to close the schools, which was the big one yesterday, apart from the lockdown, has given clarity to teachers, given clarity to all those involved in dealing with that education aspects. And whether it's right or wrong, and I do have understanding, as many parents will, of the impact this will have on young people for their lifetime, because they only get one run at education and it has such a big issue. But then you have to say to yourself, the figures I'm seeing now are so high that actually staying alive is the number one game, really. And if everybody can stick to the rules, we'll do that. But you can't guarantee it if people don't. Now, that's my view, is, you know, stay safe, stay at home, do what you're being asked to do. But at the same time, we do have the big game changer, which is the vaccine. And I hope and expect that that will start to have an impact probably within the next 3 to 4 weeks as people that are vulnerable are made safe.
This, I mean, I think there's so much going on here that you know, that I'm concerned about. You mentioned the vaccine, and it's fantastic. This is the, you know, the work of scientists that have worked obviously around the clock for the last 10 months. It's been incredible. They've, you know, the government now have that in their lap, and they're now working with the NHS to work out who gets what when. And, you know, there are certain people that are saying, well, why don't you do the teachers? You know, like yesterday would have been a perfect opportunity to do all of the teachers inside schools and get that done so that kids can go back to school. I'm just wondering whether they've got it the right way round. You know, many people have said to me, well, if we're telling old people to self-isolate, they're not going out, they're not that much of a risk, so surely bypass those and do other people that are actually doing the running around and doing the work for those people so that they can stay at home.
Yeah, and I understand those. If we deal with the teacher one first, actually, our cabinet member for children says is Paul Brading, and our MP, Bob Seeley, are putting an effort together now to approach the government and say, can we not prioritise our teachers, because they are effectively, in my view, as frontline, as NHS staff, in the sense that the children that were at school could be very easily transmitting the virus in their school environment. And indeed, you have a lot of teachers in school. That's a case we're still going to pursue, because we think, like you've just said, that it would be good for teachers. We get kids back to school if we could get the teachers protected, etc. So that's one that's underway. But I'm always one that thinks, right, OK, we are where we are. What are we going to do? OK, we've got to double our efforts now. We've got to follow the rules, stay at home. We've got the government now putting funding out for small businesses. And next week, I hope to have all that information so that we can get businesses applying for the funding that is there for them. And there's some significant money, provided they Well, they'll be contacted, actually. But there's some significant money to see them through these next couple of months that they need to get onto. So that's going to help the business world, because that we will suffer with that, there's no doubt. But also, I just can't say enough, please do not abuse the situation. Basic things, wash your hands, cover your face. I'd probably say when you're out and about, put a face mask on, then nobody's going to give you that. It's an extra bit of protection. You've got to remember, these are all tools. None of them cover everything, but they certainly help. But then stay at home, because what the staying at home does, as you said, Ian, it actually prevents the spread. The virus can't move around if we don't move around. So the more we can stay at home and not move around, the harder it makes it for the virus. And we're giving time for the vaccines to be applied.
It's like so many things that I've got to say, and you know, I want the message to be clear, and I think the message is coming out. Yes, we're angry. Yes, we're frustrated. Yes, we're fearful. Yes, we need to do the right thing. But there's just a few things that niggle me at the moment, and that is, I'm a big football fan, as you are. I hate football at the moment, because I think you're just getting in the way. You are being treated with, and you are privileged, and yet most of the games. I'll take you back to the 1970s when they used to have Paul's panel every Saturday during the month of January, purely and simply because matches were postponed because of waterlogged pitches or frozen pitches. In the last week or so, we've had numerous football matches that have been postponed because of people getting COVID-19. And we're hearing so many stories of footballers flouting the law, and yet there they are, the elite football allowed to carry on. I would have liked to have seen a stronger message and say, sorry, you flouted it, you've lost it, you'll have to wait now, and you'll have to do the best thing you can do and the right thing. The right thing for me is not continuing to play football, because it's a major kick in the teeth to all those people that are actually doing the right thing and having to watch this nonsense on the TV, i.e. spitting all over the pitch, then rolling all over it, coming out of two different areas to walk on the pitch because of social distancing. And you just think, how ridiculous is that? That message is not the best message for people. I know that this is national, but local people will see that and say, this message is all wrong. If they can do it, why can't we? What would you say to that?
I think particularly in relation to your comments about the elite and the privileged position they've got, I do understand that a lot of local people are suffering, you know, mental stress at the moment, and there are different ways in which they're able to, if you like, occupy themselves and get away, and sport is clearly one of them. But I have to align myself with you on the fact that we have some very highly paid, very privileged professional people who suddenly think it's okay to go and have a social event together, and we've seen that with different people. And the next thing you know, they've got COVID, they can't do the football anyway. And actually, I think, what role model message has that just sent out? When, you know, on a weekly basis, I'm asking Isle of Wight residents to do the right thing. As soon as you get somebody at a national level who's caught out like that doing something which they must know is not the right thing, it doesn't help us locally get the message over. But I'm trying to rise above that, because one of the big positives I saw from it way back in March was the way that many, many island residents did the right thing. And it was because they did the right thing that we were in the place that we were in when we were back down at the tier one numbers. The problem we've got now, on top of people not doing the right thing, is that we've got a virus that has now become very, very transferable. And this 15 minutes with somebody else doesn't actually hold much water with me. It seems to me you can catch it if you're just near to people, because I've had good examples given to me. So this is why it's so important. You know, if somebody said to you, you know, you can jump out on that traffic queue and step in front of that road and you know you'll get killed, that's why we don't do it. Just because you can't see this, you can't smell it, you can't see it, it could be as dangerous, in that if you catch it, for some people, and I was listening to our chief executive from the hospital telling us about the kind of impact it's having on patients in that hospital who are suffering terribly. No, it's not every Isle of Wight person that's suffering in that way, but for that person, that's their world. And if that can be avoided, that's got to be the thing to do. So my message is, you know, stick to the rules, stay at home when you don't have to, follow the guidelines, And for sake of 2 months, what's that, 8 to 12 weeks? We can do that. We can do that. And then we can start to enjoy the best of the island again, because a lot of people now are just, you know, pretty down about things. But we've got to hold fast and we've got to do the right thing.
I mean, I know I'm coming across as quite, you know, I'm concerned, say, and I'm angry and I'm frustrated and all of those things. But it won't stop me from doing the right thing. It won't stop me from carrying on, because, you know, we've got to get through this. We have to get through this. Do you think there's enough stories, especially locally, enough stories? We're something we're going to be working on the next couple of weeks is stories of people that have actually suffered and suffering still out there, to make people realise that this isn't a game.
So we are also putting together some practical stories, because when it becomes personal, when you hear of somebody you know personally whose life is now at risk because they caught COVID, and that's a fact, it is, because nobody can tell you exactly how the treatment's going to go, you then begin to realise how real this is for you personally. It's not just another statistic. That's the problem with statistics, as important as they are. We can say, you know, 800 people have now caught COVID on the Isle of Wight in the last, whatever, 7 days, whatever the figure is. But if it's your friend, if it's somebody you know, and if you know their life is now in danger, it becomes real. And all I'm trying to say to you is you can avoid that. You can avoid that by doing what is being asked, and you will not have to go through that experience or indeed be the person on the end of that. But I don't know, this COVID complacency, as I call it, I know it's been a long time, but it really, for the sake of what time you got left there with the vaccine, I just think, come on, we can do this. We've got to pull ourselves together and we've got to do the right thing. And if we do that, we'll get there.
One positive thing that I've noticed in the last 24-48 hours is that I've gone for two walks on two separate days, one to walk work and one as just the daily walk now, and there is less cars and less people about, which, you know, it kind of reminds me of what it was like when we first went into lockdown in March. So that is a good thing, and hopefully people are getting the message. And I just want to point out, I'm not having a go at anyone here. I remember you saying to me a couple of months ago, it's about what you can do for the island, it's about what you can do for other people, and that's how we've got to think. I know that you're a busy guy, and I've only got a couple more questions to ask you. Let's end on a positive. Where can local businesses look for assistance, especially the ones that the current system or the system before overlook them?
Okay, so we're working hard with that. In fact, just before speaking to you, I was talking to our lead officer for this, and he's sending me all the details, which will be coming out very early next week. So we know the government are putting a lot more money into helping, so particularly around the business rates. Small businesses will be entitled to a payment of between £4,000 and £9,000, which is what we're talking about. And then as the month goes on, they can reapply for things. These will be mandatory grants, so you'll just be able to get the grant. But you'll obviously have to fill out the first form. We're trying to make that as simple as we can. And then there's other figures coming in. Another thing we did in the council, we built up a very small pot of money, which is our kind of, if you like, difficult case support, where we can be discretionary and say, right, that really, we need to put some money in there to help that business. So all of that is being put together again, like we did before. And I would say to small business, watch the website, listen to the press releases, and then you'll get the information. Plus, you'll be contacted automatically about some of these. And that will hopefully be enough to see some businesses sustain themselves and get through to the spring. Unfortunately, I know that some other businesses won't survive. And that's the bit we're trying to minimise, because a business that goes down is a job loss. A job loss is a loss of income. A loss of income brings with it a whole range of other pressures on family life, which everybody knows. But that's the consequence, why it's so important to keep as many people in the work as we can, till we get to that place, hopefully in the springtime, where we're all starting to come alive as an island. We've done the right thing and we can get back into business in the widest term.
Just one thing to consider, and I know that this sounds like I'm asking for myself. Yeah, well, if you don't ask, you don't get. But I'm sure there's other people in the same boat. We didn't qualify for anything purely and simply because we basically live at the Riverside Centre and we don't pay council tax, so we couldn't qualify for any of the payments.
Right. Your question. What is the question?
Well, the question is, you know, is there some way that you can take into consideration a non-council taxpayer? It could, because we are paying the rent, obviously, to someone, and then, you know, they obviously pay the council tax. So
yeah, so, okay, so my answer to you as a specific example, which is what you're doing, is yes, but you need to make the council aware of that, go to the right person, which you're particularly in a good place to find out who that is. And let's have the facts of what it's costing and what you need to cover. Because I have to say, people like yourselves, Vectis Radio, Isle of Wight Radio, the other media, are actually really important to us because they're the ways in which we get the message out to people. So you're performing quite an important public duty in many ways. And if somebody said to me, well, you know, there's a strong chance Vectis Radio are going to go under, I'd say, well, what have we done to help them? Because that's what we should be doing. Because, you know, you are a part of that really public network that we've got, and I want to see as much of that sustained so that we can get our communications out and indirectly through you save lives. That's what we're doing. We're saving lives. We're in the business of saving lives here.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. And the reason why I ask is because I would imagine that that little loophole in it, there would be a number of businesses that are in the same boat. So that's the reason why I asked, not just for myself. Let's finish on pavement etiquette. One of the biggest, and I saw something that you'd said very recently, you were out and about and people were completely oblivious. Maybe there's a campaign we should start here, but if you're out and about on a pavement and there's two of you and you're walking towards two people and they're coming towards you, I get so cross and angry when people, I know it sounds like I'm an angry man at the moment, but I get really irate when people just walk towards you and they expect you to walk in the road. They're just completely oblivious to anything around them. I mean, what's the message to those people? Can we have like a television campaign on pavement etiquette?
No, I think it's an interesting topic, and I've actually done that myself. I mean, you know, I might be recognised by some, but there's plenty that don't know who I am, and I have a mask on quite a lot of the time, so they definitely don't. And it's just doing the simple thing. You're right, I would actually, and have done, walked in the road in order to keep that bit of distance between myself and other people, because I don't want them or me to be transmitting that disease. What we should think to ourselves is either I've got it and I don't want to give it to somebody else, so that keeps them away, or everybody I'm going to walk near could have the disease and I don't want to catch it. But either way, keep that distance. I'm a kind of a 2 meter person. I know they talk about 1 meter. I personally think with this virulent virus we've got, 2 meters is much safer. And the other thing I think people talk about, oh, you know, you've got to be near in 15 minutes. Do you know what? I know that's not the case now. So being near anybody that could transmit for even a very short period of time is a risk. So why don't we just do, as you say, have a bit of a public etiquette as well, public, because it's on the pavements, it's on the beaches, it's on stood at a takeaway to pick up your takeaway. You know, there's some people pick a takeaway up and then go and sit down and eat it. Why? Take it away and go home. Don't put yourself on offer. So lots of places where we could think sensibly, do our little bit to help the greater good. And that's what it's all about, Ian.
One final message, Dave. You know, a message to people of the Isle of Wight. What would it be?
So my message would be redouble our efforts now. We can do this. We've done it before. If we all play our part properly, I am sure we will be talking in the springtime about something that's going into the past, and that for me would be great. I would love to see nobody else on this Isle of Wight die from COVID. It's not within my gift, but everybody that loses a life for me is somewhere the system's, you know, not done everything it could to protect them. So let's really double our efforts. Let's show the country the Isle of Wight can raise that community spirit and look after ourselves in the way we know we should. And I will be doubling my efforts on all the things that people raise in emails with me. They don't get forgotten. I read them, I think about it, and I think, right, okay, can I do anything else there? And I'd like to be in a place in future in where we're having a conversation. The numbers are dropping. The numbers of deaths are definitely dropping. and we're actually starting to see, you know, high numbers of vaccinations and people starting to see a future, because it is there. It is there. And for those people that are, and there are a lot of people, very depressed, frustrated, worried, definitely worried. Listen, we can do this and we will look after you. That's our job. That's our job.
Hey, look, Dave, thanks for your positivity. Thank you for being there, and thank you for what you and your team have done right from the beginning of this. And I think we all now should take on board what you're saying. Yes, we can do this. We can only do it if we all do it. Otherwise, it's still going to be a problem. But thanks for your time, Dave, and please take good care of yourself.
Cheers. Thanks, Ian. Thanks for your time as well.